question or comment? Need savvy travel advice? Connect with Robert, Mary, and Rudy anytime on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at RM World Travel. Now, back to RM World Travel.
Great having all of you tuned in around the country. Thanks for staying with us through the break. Robert and Mary back with you for more of our world travel get-together. The International Paris Air Show has been going on this week, and who better to give us a first-hand report than show friend Richard Abulafia, and that's exactly what we're going to do for the next 10 minutes. But first, a quick word about LifeLock Identity Theft Protection.
There are lots of warnings you don't want to miss, like a sign that says bridge out ahead or the lifeguard announcing there's a shark in the water. But in the digital world, there may be no warning when it comes to cyber threats. LifeLock uses proprietary technology to help detect threats to your identity, like your personal info for sale on the dark web, and Norton Security protects your devices from ransomware, emerging viruses, and other online threats.
For comprehensive protection against threats that you can't easily see or fix on your own, LifeLock with Norton is your winning combination, because if you ever have a problem, they have agents who will work to fix it. Join now, and for the first year, save 10% when you use our code of RM at LifeLock.com. There's also a link at RMWorldTravel.com under sponsors.
And now, let's get right to that show hotline, and welcome back to the program, live from Paris, show friend Richard Abulafia.
Hello, Richard. How's Paris, and how have you been since our last chat back in March?
Oh, just great. Thanks very much. And Paris, of course, you know, despite the occasional logistical agonies, is still Paris. So delightful. Thank you.
Well, that's terrific. So, all right, listen, I want to get right into this. Boeing CEO kicked off the Paris Air Show with an important public and compassionate acknowledgement of their issues and mishandling of the Boeing 737 MAX. Give us your thoughts on what Dennis had to say. What are you hearing, if it's the same thing that we are, that the test flights are imminent and the jets should probably be flying maybe again by the end of the summer? And IAC had some big news this week with the 737 MAX for sure.
Yes, that's right. The MAX began the week under, of course, the same dark cloud it had been under, and so had Boeing's treatment of the entire thing, both the design and integration of the MCAS system on the MAX, as well as the way they handled the public in the aftermath of the two disasters. But this week they definitely demonstrated a bit more contrition, which they badly needed to do. We apparently are approaching the first tests of a technical fix, and perhaps most of all, IAG provided a huge endorsement with a letter of intent to order 200. And given IAG's very strong engineering department, this is really a badly needed endorsement.
Yeah, I saw something that, you know, Willie Walsh, who's their CEO and was a former 737 pilot, he actually has flown in the simulator, and he's pretty comfortable with the fixes that are coming.
Yeah, that's right. And in a lot of ways, this looks like sort of the mother of all win-wins. You know, Boeing gets this hugely valued endorsement at exactly when they need it, and IAG gets to lock in what I'm sure is a heavily discounted price for their single-aisle needs.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, it's certainly a large vote of confidence for Boeing for this. So, Richard, what's the overall feel of this year's Paris Air Show? What's it been like this week, and what are some takeaways that really you've been drawn to that you think our listeners would like to hear about?
Well, you know, we like when people travel.
Yes.
Of course, that's demand, the ultimate arbiter of health of the industry, right? Mm-hmm. And we've had many years of above-trend growth, and another reason this air show began under kind of a dark cloud is because the past couple of months of traffic, most recent ones available, were March and April, and they were really bad, mm-hmm. to be honest, with 3.1% growth in one and 4.3% in the other, way below the 6 and 7 numbers we've been enjoying. So a lot of discussion about what we'll see in May, and apparently the preliminary numbers are looking pretty decent. So demand looks strong, and of course, from the standpoint of the flying public, that probably means that we're going to be back to crowded airplanes,
right.
The usual difficult growing experience.
Blessing and the curse,
yeah.
Right.
Well, we're on a flight right after this show today, so over to Rome, so we'll see. But, you know, listen, earlier this week, we received a release with news from the Paris Air Show that Skytrax had released their World's Best Airlines for 2019 list, and I'm not sure about you, Richard, but I had two reactions to it. First, no U.S. carrier made the list, and second, Qatar Airways, you know, with their controversial CEO, Akbar Al-Baker, who called U.S. flight attendants a few years ago grannies, well, they won the coveted number one spot for the fifth time. So any thoughts on the winners? Have you seen the list at all this week?
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's absolutely right. U.S. carriers, unfortunately, continue to treat this as a commodity business. They're getting modestly better, But, you know, the more aggressive, faster growth airlines in Asia and, of course, the Middle East, as you say, are going to take top honors. They simply are more aggressive in their pursuit, particularly of premium travelers. But, you know, that's of course, where the money is.
Yeah, and folks, listen, if you haven't seen that list, I won't go through the whole thing, but the quickly the top five, you know, Qatar Airways, Singapore's number two, All Nippon Airways third, Cathay Pacific fourth, Emirates fifth, and I also know Qantas and Lufthansa are on there. So, Mary, what else do you want
to go? So, Richard, let's talk a little bit about Airbus. They have a new CEO. I saw some orders this week coming in for the A330neo. The new A321XLR is getting a lot of attention, and, of course, the A350. So what's going on with Airbus? How are things going for them, and what are you seeing and hearing?
Yeah, not bad. And I would focus there on the 321XLR, which in terms of pre-orders was very much the star of the show. You know, what we're seeing now is the opening days of the battle for what you might call the middle market. And for travelers, the middle market is great because it means more point-to-point routes, particularly across the Atlantic. We just got our service in Washington to Portugal, for example, classic middle market route. 200 to 250 seats, 5,000 nautical mile range. The XLR isn't quite at the heart of that, but it's the first product, and people seem to really like it. The economics are going to be really good. And, of course, the question still remains, what will Boeing do in response to Airbus's strong position there?
You know, we've talked a lot about the commercial side of the Paris Air Show, but there's also the military side as well. So any major happenings this week that are noteworthy? And, frankly, I'm guessing the proposed United Technologies Raytheon merger has a lot of people talking.
Yeah, it really did. And assuming it goes through, it creates what is tied for second as the biggest single aerospace or biggest aerospace and defense company on the planet. It's pretty remarkable. Raytheon, of course, is almost purely defense. United Technologies more heavily commercial. So it's kind of an endorsement of the idea that it's good to have a little of both if you're in the industry.
Right. So I think this is the 53rd International Paris Air Show. Richard, how many have you been to over the years?
Oh, boy.
We're putting them on the spot.
Yeah, a lot. More than 10?
It was sometime in the 90s that I began,
okay.
I don't think I've missed any. So,
all right. Well, I know
really
you...
one of those moments you get together.
Yeah, I know you spend a lot of time reporting on all of this and certainly listening to the industry executives talk and all of that, but do you get a chance to spend some time outside watching some of these fabulous flying displays that we keep reading about in the media, and how are they?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there was a bunch of defense products that always began. Of course, it's a French, if you will, flagship national fighter, the Dassault Rafale, which sort of becomes the de facto star. But in terms of commercial jetliners, the stretched version of the A350, the 1000, put in a very impressive set of flying displays at the show. That's a 350-seater for a long range, so it's a, you know, heavily Asian market,
right.
But really beautiful plane.
So would you say, the plane that grabbed most people's attention, or what was it besides maybe some of the military aircraft that you're going to come back to the States with saying, wow, that was pretty impressive?
Yeah, you know, I mean, the charismatic megafauna, right?
right.
Definitely the 351,000, I mean, because it's, you know, there it is, a very elegant, thinner two-engine jet, which is, 70% plus of the weight being a 747, 75%. So it's big and yet somehow graceful and elegant. And, I love the 747 and can never say anything bad about it.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about this thing that just looks like it's an efficient model.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. You know, well, folks, listen, you know, you can go to the International Paris Air Show. I mean, it's every other year. I mean, so I guess, Richard, we begin now thinking about the 54th International Paris Air Show in 2 years. But when you go there, it is open to the public. I mean, you can go and they've got all the different planes flying. I mean, it's an event for sure. And I promise you, Richard, we will make sure that we check in with you a lot sooner than 2 years from now. So I know you're headed back to the U.S. We hope you have a very safe flight. And we thank you very much for the live report from us today from Paris and what you've experienced this week at the International Paris Air Show.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Well, you're always welcome. So look forward to it. Safe travels and enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Enjoy. Okay? Thank you, Richard.
Thank you.
All right, just hit the release button on Richard. I know he's still got a lot more to go. And one other thing, we didn't hit on the new Boeing 777X. The 777X looks like it's going to be delayed further than what people thought because General Electric said that they have to redesign an engine part for the long-haul plane, and that's going to lead to a delay. So not good news for some of the airlines like Emirates, Qatar, and a lot of the leasing companies out there. They're going to be waiting a little longer than they thought. Anyway, Mary, time for us to take a quick break.
All right, and please connect with us on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram at RM World Travel.
Yes, please do that. And don't forget, if you want to catch every hour of this show, once it airs across our network, it's archived on our website as well. So right now, we're going to pause for a few sponsor messages, but there's still a lot more RM World Travel to come this hour and next. Stay with us.
Today's edition of RM World Travel is coming right back, and you can also stay connected with the program at rmworldtravel.com.